We started out on this series about worship, acknowledging what Jesus told us. And what did he tell us? He said, loving God with our whole being is our greatest commandment. Therefore, worshiping God, praising God, adoring God, loving God, serving God are activities. They're not just concepts. They're not just things we talk about. They're things we do. We do. All of which we should prioritize in our lives. I don't know about you, but I suspect that you and I, most of us, are similar in our backgrounds and in our upbringing in church. I went to the First Presbyterian Church of Rockingham, North Carolina. It was the second largest church in our little town of 3,000 people. And I grew up observing. I grew up observing my parents in worship services. Is this bringing back any memories for any of you? And what did I observe my parents doing? I observed them observing whatever was going on the platform. When we sat quietly and patiently while someone else stood up here on the platform praying or preaching or reading the scripture. We were observers. We were not very involved. We were just watching and listening. And from time to time, someone would say, let us stand. Have you ever heard that before? And so we stood up. And that was participation. So there. Most of the time, standing up was when everyone would sing. Correction. Most of the time, that was when most people sang. But my father did not sing. I observed that. He never opened his mouth. He did not participate. And in fact, I remember observing both of my parents reading the bulletin announcements while other people were singing or praying or reading the scripture or preaching. Don't you dare. I did not realize that I learned early in my life that Sunday worship services were a passive experience. I can say now very gladly that I did observe my parents serving God. They were very active in all aspects of the church. They were very active with, they gave money to the church. They attended everything that happened there. And they also helped some Christians outside the church. It was good, a good example. But I did not see them serve God through worship, adoration, and praise. It was many years later, praise God, that he opened my eyes to a whole new level of what it means to worship the Lord and to enjoy worship. I am so thankful that he did that. Brothers and sisters, there may be some people in here for whom he wants to do the same thing. He wants to open your eyes to a deeper level of understanding and participation in this whole subject of worship. That's why I chose to go back and repeat this whole series of sermons and focus again on worship. I mean, worship is what we are all going to do in heaven. And praise God, we are going to do it perfectly when we get to heaven. What we do here right now is practice for what we are going to be able to do later. It's like choir rehearsal, for those of you who know about choir rehearsals, and a lot of us do. It's choir rehearsal before you join the angels in singing to God. And you know you're going to do that. Even the non-singers in here are going to join the angels in singing to God. Now, as we started exploring last week, we are going to make beautiful music together to God, all of us. Because music is the greatest gift that God has given us to worship Him. I am fully convinced. And He did not give that gift just to you and me. He gave that gift to all creation. All creation, even the pulsars up in the galaxies are singing to God. Every atom is singing to God, all creation. If music moves you now, just imagine what it's going to do in heaven. If music does not move you now, then get ready, because you're going to discover something greater than chocolate. If chocolate is your passion, it's not mine, but I know a lot of people love it. Now, last week, we started a portion of this sermon series talking about music in worship, but we were focusing on what the Bible teaches us through some wonderful stories about music in worship. And last week, as a reminder, we focused on the anointing of Saul as the first king of Israel. And I told you that when you go see David in about a week, it begins with the anointing of Saul. Not the anointing with oil, not the laying on of hands, but the Holy Spirit anointing a man and changing him from within when he heard some worshipers playing their instruments and singing to God. That's when the Holy Spirit moved. This week we're going to continue with Saul and how music changed him further after he became king. But I've got a lot of intro to get through first. Things did not go well for Saul. We read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, departed from Saul." That's bad. But what happens next is maybe even worse. "And an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." And before we talk about that, I want to recognize something, and I say this only because there may be some people here who have not learned that yet. You can be anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like Saul. And you can lose that anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like Saul. So please, listen carefully to what God teaches us here. In the case of Saul, this is what happened. In chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, we learned that God gave Saul a direct command. God was angry with the Amalekites, and he told King Saul to totally destroy them and everything that belonged to them. Now, that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But God is God. And God decided that's what needed to happen. May he never pronounce that judgment on America. That goes back to our July 3 sermon. Well, Saul did attack the Amalekites, but he did not do everything that God told him to do. Instead of executing their king, he took him captive. And instead of destroying everything but that belonged to the Amalekites, Saul took the best of the sheep and the fatted calves and the cattle and the lambs for himself. In verse 10 of chapter 15, we read this: "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel." Samuel was the leading prophet of the day. "The word of the Lord came to Samuel, and this is what God said to the prophet Samuel. God said, 'I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions.'" Let's not miss the obvious point here. that any of us could be guilty of doing the same thing. And the passage goes on to say, the prophet Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night long. Wow. I'll bet he did. Saul had disobeyed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Harry sometimes disobeys God. I'm sure none of you do that, but perhaps you know other people who do. And when you see another brother or sister disobeying God, are you troubled in your spirit the same way Samuel was troubled? Do you cry out to God on their behalf all night long if necessary, the way Samuel did? I'm impressed with what God taught us through this story when we learn how Samuel was grieved. He was so grieved that he beseeched God on behalf of Saul rather than just ignoring the sin or feeling sad for him or maybe even gossiping to somebody else about it. Brothers and sisters, before God and before you, I admit that I have done all of the things I just listed. I have seen people disobey God, and I've turned my face, felt sad, and gossiped. I have dropped the ball a number of times, and I've fallen into sin myself because of the sin of someone else. Let us learn from Samuel's response. What did he do next? He went to King Saul face to face, and he confronted him with his sin. That takes guts, doesn't it? In our culture, we just don't do things like that. But that's what God expects us to do. Not turn our heads, but to love the brother or sister enough to take that difficult step. This is verse 13. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." He lied. He lied. He tried to hide his sin. Have you ever done that? Going on, it says, "But Samuel, the prophet, said, 'What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?' Saul answered, 'The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest.'" Saul was not just a liar, he was also a blame shifter. Have you ever done that? Adam did that. Adam said, "It was Eve's fault," tried to shift the blame over on her. That's where it all started, brothers and sisters. Verse 16, "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. I can just hear it. I wrote it in my notes, all capital letters. "Stop." Samuel said to Saul, "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Now, I wonder how Saul said that. Did he say, "Tell me," defiant? Or did he realize that he was cornered? And he said, "Tell me." Well, the prophet Samuel laid it on Saul big time and exposed everything, and Saul was busted. And part of what Samuel said to Saul in that confrontation is a scripture that all of us should be very familiar with. The prophet Samuel said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the word, the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Tragic. What a conversation. Tragic. And that is why it says in the passage we read earlier, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul." A liar, a blame shifter. But you may remember that it said even more. Here's the complete verse. "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." That is one loaded verse. It may even challenge the belief system of some of us, because some people do not believe in evil spirits. Well, then, they don't believe in the Bible either. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that there are angels who are spirits, and that there are good angels and there are bad angels. The bad ones are the ones who fell out of heaven and followed their rebellious leader, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The good spirits and the evil spirits did not vanish when the Bible was written. They are as alive and present and active today as they were when John had his revelation and gave us the last book of the Bible. Furthermore, this verse says that God sent an evil spirit to torment Saul. Some would say, well, God would never do a thing like that. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, yes, he would. Just read the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. And you will be reminded that Satan went to God and he asked God for permission to test Job. And God allowed it for his divine purposes. That is what happened to Saul. In his arrogance, in his disobedience, God allowed an evil spirit to torment Saul. Continuing, Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." Okay, finally, we get to the music part. Those servants seemed to be very confident of what they said to King Saul about the ministry of a worshiping musician. They had obviously had some experience with some of this, and they so much wanted Saul to receive a blessing. This is verse 17. "So Saul said to his attendants, 'Find someone who plays well and bring him to me.' One of the servants answered, 'I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him.'" Underline that in your Bible. "And the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.' So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat, and he sent them with his son David to Saul. And David became to Saul and entered his service. And Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. And then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." And here it comes. This is the focus of this entire sermon, what I'm about to share. Whenever the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and he would play, and then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. The Lord was with David. David was with the Lord. David was a musician, skilled at playing the harp. But more importantly, David was a worshiper who played that harp with his heart. For the musicians out there, you know there's a difference. Saul was overcome by that music, and he yielded himself to it, and that pleased God. But what else happened? That music also immobilized the evil spirit, and it made that evil spirit flee. I love that. God responds to music that is offered to him in worship. That's been the theme of my entire ministry. God responds to music that is offered to him in worship, and so does the devil. The difference is that God increases his presence, and the devil decreases his. Which way would you rather have it? Last week, we discussed the Holy Spirit anointing Saul when he heard the music of the worshipers, and it changed him from the inside. And I asked you then, if there was anything inside of you that you would like to have God change, because he did it for Saul and he can do it for you. And this week I have a similar question for you. Is there anything in your life where the devil has a foothold? For instance, addiction. You may think I'm talking about drugs. I'm not. I'm talking about Diet Coke and whatever else you might find as an addiction in your life. How about anger? Are you an angry person? What about jealousy? Have you ever struggled with being jealous? What about lust? What about unforgiveness? What about depression? Have you ever struggled with depression? How about fear? Are you afraid of anything? The devil can get a foothold in your life. Brothers and sisters, we are all vulnerable to that. But we have the power of God on our side. Are you listening? We have the power of God on our side. Thank you. He responds to our needs in a variety of ways, especially through prayer. But do not miss the fact that he revealed to us that he also responds to music that is offered to him in worship. And what a powerful combination it is when you pray to him through music. In our worship services, we're no longer blessed having live musicians very often to sing for us. But I try very hard to choose meaningful hymns for you to sing and meaningful recorded music to play before the service begins and during the service in order to try to help you connect with God and God connect with you. I have an advantage. When the special music is played before the service and during the service, I can see your faces. And I see a number of people in here worshiping God and responding to God and being caught up in His Spirit through that music. It just warms my heart like crazy. Some people are tagging along. They'll get there. But it just blesses me. We are all here to worship. And you do. You do. Praise God. If you didn't, I'd resign. What a blessing to be still and know that I am God. What a blessing it is to praise Him with your whole being. And shout if you have to. Scare me to death, but go ahead. And say hallelujah and say amen. But I hope you will go even deeper through the music, brothers and sisters. I hope you will allow God's Holy Spirit to breathe on you and anoint you fully and change you from the inside or even deliver you from the devil who attempts to take you away from your Savior. After all, He did that for Saul. He can do that for you. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank You that we have Your power over us and in us and under us. And thank You that You speak to us in a huge number of ways. But on this subject, Lord, I pray that You will deepen our heart's desire to worship You through music and to allow You to minister to us through music. In Jesus' name, amen.